This morning, we're going to continue with our series. We started our series last week, The Little Church That Could. We started that last week, and we were looking at our three pillars that we're moving forward as a church. And last week, we started looking at our first pillar, and that's that we are spiritual environmentalists. And spiritual environmentalists, what does that mean? That means that we're called to impact our environments as a church, City Light Church, and as individuals. We're called to impact and make a difference and change the atmosphere in and around our lives into an atmosphere that is Christ-centered. That means that when people have a connection with us, when people meet us, when people contact with us, what happens is that something is changed in their lives because they've come into contact with the person of Jesus through us. And so that's kind of what we're looking at. We're spiritual environmentalists. Last week, we started with one of the things that makes us a spiritual environmentalist, one of the ways that we can change the atmosphere around us, and that is that we are deeply rooted in prayer. That's who we are. We're a praying church. We're a praying church. We're praying people. And so one of the things that we do so that we can change the environment is that we're deeply rooted in prayer. And so today we're going to look at part two of that. Last week we talked about four different ways that we can pray. We can pray with persistence. We can pray with passion. We can pray with thankfulness. And we can also pray making intercession for others. So that was part one of our prayer. And today we're looking at part two. Like I said last week, really we could just preach about prayer like from here until the end of the year. And we wouldn't really wouldn't be able to touch all of the things that happen in and through prayer. But today, if you're taking notes and you want to write some of this stuff down, today we're talking about five things that happen when we pray. Five things that happen when we pray. Number one, we're just going to keep rolling because I can see the clock. Cheryl took far longer than she should have. Oh, she didn't, Cheryl. I'm talking too much. That's what's happening. Number one, prayer internalizes the burden. Let me say that for you again. Prayer internalizes the burden. That's the first thing that happens to us when we pray. What does that mean? It means that prayer, what prayer does is that it deepens our ownership of the burden of the kingdom. It helps us to partner with God. What happens in our prayer life, and if we're consistent with it, and if we're passionate with it, and if we're thankful, and if we're praying intercessory prayers, what happens in the middle of that is that through prayer, we can begin to understand the mission of God for the world. And the more that we understand God's mission, the more we should want to participate in that. So that's what that means when we take on the burden. It's through prayer, I understand more and more what God wants for the world. The more and more that I understand what God wants for the world, the more I should want to participate in that. I am taking on the burden of the kingdom onto myself. And that's what happens with prayer. There's this statement. We use it all the time. It's kind of Christianese at this point. And like I've used it lots of times. I use it up here a lot of the times. I use it when I pray. I'm sure lots of you have used this or heard this. And it's, God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And we really, it's almost sometimes I feel like it's a throwaway statement. Sometimes we just kind of put it in there because it sounds really good. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And the truth of it is if we want to take on the burden, if we want to be impactful people in the kingdom, then that, like that statement, that prayer has to be, like it has to be central to what we're doing in our prayer life. Break my heart for that which breaks yours. And the truth is this, like you look at the world nowadays, and man, like the world could really use a lot of change, couldn't it? Just look at the world. Look, like turn on the news once in a while. And even then, just look at our local news. And you look at the local news and you're like, oh, man, like, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of things that I feel could be changed in the world. And there's so many good causes. Like there are good causes and there are good people out there doing good things. Like, you look at it, and yeah, we have, for example, we have our Cops for Cancer. Like, that's a good thing. that's happening in the world for a good reason. You look at organizations, even in our area, you look at Youth Sanctuary or Sanctuary Youth with Darren Reimer downtown. Like, that's a good organization and they're doing good things. You look at Youth for Christ, and I feel like we're doing some good things. And even our rivals, the Young Lifers, our rivals. We had a van driving in front of us yesterday on the highway, and he had a Young Life sticker on it, and he was driving 10 kilometers under the speed limit. And I was like, yep, those are the Young Lifers. They're just in my way. No, they're not. They're doing great work, and there's organizations and people that are doing some good things, and there are causes out there that are worth getting involved in, and they're worth our time, and they're worth our attention. But the truth is this, folks, at the end of the day, like at the very end of the day, if we're talking kingdom stuff, what matters most is what God holds near to his heart. So we can see all the things that we feel need to change, and we have some ideas of what can and can't change. We have ideas of how things should look and how they shouldn't look, and we have ideas of how that should even happen and when it should happen. But at the end of the day, the thing that matters the most is what God holds dear to his heart. So as believers, because we say we're believers and we're followers of Jesus, as believers, there's no greater sign of a Jesus follower than surrendering and asking God to break our hearts for what breaks his heart, not just ours. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Nehemiah, I'll be honest, I've preached a lot. Like I have sermons like you wouldn't believe. Like I have files of sermons that are handwritten. I have files of sermons that were once typed. I have files and files of sermons. And I never once thought that I'd be preaching this much about Nehemiah. But here I am again. Nehemiah keeps coming up. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, here's what's happening with Nehemiah. He's going about his business, and then he gets this report about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's in a bad state. The walls are all broken down. We've gone over some of this lots of times. I hope you guys know the story of Nehemiah by now, because I've brought it up so many times. And so he gets this terrible report of Jerusalem and the state that it's in. And what happens to Nehemiah in that moment is that he's able to feel the heart of God when he hears that bad report. And what he does is he sits down and he weeps and he mourns. So he hears the report of what's happening in Jerusalem and to the people in Jerusalem. And he gets a feel for God's heart for those people. And his reaction is that he weeps and he mourns. And he does it for days. Like, he doesn't just feel bad for them for one day. For days and days, his heart is broken for the one thing that's the most important to God, and that's people. And so what Nehemiah does after his time of weeping and mourning is that he actually takes that problem that he sees ahead of him, that thing that breaks God's heart, and he makes it personal. And he says, okay, I've received this burden into my heart, and now I'm going to step into this, and I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to walk into this, whatever God's calling me to. And so we need to ask ourselves the same question. We need to ask ourselves, is my heart broken for the lost? Is my heart broken for the hurting? Like, do those things move me in the deepest part of my soul? Because here's the thing about a burden. A burden's going to make you cry. Like, I watch shows and I can't even watch Tim Hortons commercials at Christmas time. And I'm crying. Like, I'm crying. I'm that guy. Yesterday I was watching a documentary on one of the sports channels. It was called 26.2 to Life. And it was about prisoners in San Quentin prison. And these guys they all had life sentences. And some of them were trying to get those reduced because some of them had been in jail for like 17 years, 20 years. And a lot can change in that time. And God can do a lot of good things in your heart in the middle of that. And so these guys, they belong to a running club called the Thousand Mile San Quentin Running Club. And they run marathons. They run, they run these laps. And you see these guys being transformed in their lives and the way they think. And I'm watching this show. And in the middle of it, there's one guy who he knows he's never coming out of jail. Like, he's in jail forever. He did some terrible things. He admits it. And he's going to be there forever. And so his son has never had a dad. And he's only ever visited him occasionally. But now the son has an opportunity to spend an entire weekend with his dad. And they're interviewing this young man. I think he was like 18, 19 or something like that. And he starts sharing about how hard it's been to be raised without a dad and how people ask him, "What, you don't know how to change the oil in your car? Didn't anyone ever show you that?" "No, no one ever did because my dad's in jail." "Oh, you don't know how to do this thing?" "No, because no one ever showed me." And I'm watching this. And all of a sudden, this boy in this interview, and he's a hard kid, like he's hard. All of a sudden, he breaks. And he starts crying. And he gets angry about it. And he gets angry at the interviewer. And he cusses her out a little bit. And then his heart just pours out and he's bawling. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm laying on the couch. And I've got my legs up because Heidi's sitting over here in our little armchair. And I'm sitting over here. I'm laying over here. And I put my legs up, my knees up. So she can't see that I'm bawling. I'm bawling my eyes out. My heart broke for this young kid. Like, it broke for him. And that's what happens with a burden. Your heart breaks and you'll cry and you'll mourn for them. But here's what happens in a burden as well. It fills your heart with passion. Like, if you take on a burden that breaks your heart, it'll make you cry, but it'll also fill your heart with passion. See, God's looking for people who will carry his heart and his passion for others. And so when we pray, what happens is that we become more aware of how God might answer our prayers through us. Like, we become more aware of how some of these prayer items are going to be answered, not by God, but by God through us. And that's what taking the burden on is. Like, he's going to involve us in ways that we can't even imagine. He's going to be like, "Okay, you're up. You want this prayer answered? Then take it and help me answer this prayer." That's exciting for me. So taking on the burden, what that does for us, it gets us off the bench and into the game. That's super important, excuse me, as we are Jesus followers. We can't just be in an observation stage. We actually have to move into a participation stage. And that's what this does for us. It gets us off the bench and moves us from from observation to participation. Like, if we really believe that Jesus has a plan to, like, redeem and restore the world, like, if we really, like, if we claim that and we really believe that, then that work of restoration, that work of redemption, it can't get to us and then stop. Like, if we really believe that God has a restoration plan, a kingdom plan for the Gorge Tillicum area, we can't take that plan and let it just stop here on Sunday morning. It has to go through us and in us and continue. That's how it works. Like, if we're really claiming that God has that plan, it can't stop with us. We can't be the dead end for that plan. It has to go through us. Because we're his handiwork. Like, we're God's handiwork. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'm reading out of the Message, and it says this: "He's created each of us by Christ Jesus to join in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, the work we had better be doing. So what prayer does is it helps us to take on the mission. The second thing that happens with prayer or when we pray is that it actually forces us to wait. Prayer forces us to wait. Part of prayer is always waiting on God. And I don't know about you guys, I'm never excited about waiting. I don't wait well. I really don't. Like, again, yesterday we drove up to, Heidi and I drove up to Nanoose Bay, the Bible camp up in Nanoose. And we were picking Lennon up and a couple friends and bringing them back home from a week of camp. And Lennon was, what did you win, Lennon, by the way? What was your award? Oh, most sportsmanlike. I told him that means he's too nice. And he's got to throw a couple elbows in those. That's how you win MVP. You throw a couple of elbows. So we're driving up to get them, and we made pretty good time. And then on the way back, I wanted to make better time. Because I made really good time, and I was like, I should make better time. And I got these teenage kids in the car, and I'm like, I just want to get them home. And so I'm in the left lane a lot on the highway because it's the passing lane, right? And there's rules about the passing lane. Rule number one, if you're going 5 kilometers over the speed limit, you do not belong in the passing lane. Okay? Amen? Who said amen? Let's go, baby. If you're going 5 over, this is not the lane for you. Because that's not going to make a difference to the time. You are going far too slow. So I'm in the left lane. And then I'm in the right lane. And then I'm back in the left lane. And then I'm trying to pass the guy in the right lane. But then he speeds up and I'm like, what are you? I'm just going to ride you now. And finally, I bullied the one guy out of my way. I bullied him out. And I was like, my car is bigger than yours. I'm just going to ride you. Get out of my way. And he finally moved over. And because I'm such a patient person, I'll say I didn't just do 5 over the speed limit. I may have done 20 over. But I needed to make up the time. And because I know Jeremy, I figured if I get the ticket, I have like an ace like up my sleeve. And I can call Jer and go, I don't know what happened here, but this guy gave me a ticket. I told him I'm a pastor, and he still gave me the ticket. No. Now I'm a pastor, right? Only when it's convenient, right? And so waiting for me is not good. Like, it's not. And I know for most of us, waiting is super hard. And God has 3 answers to prayer. He has 3 answers to prayer. It's yes and no and wait. Now, yes and no, no-brainers. We can handle yes and no. Like, yes, easy peasy. We're on easy street. I can handle a yes answer to my prayers. No, it's a little bit harder, but it's a straightforward answer. It's yes or no, no-brainer. But wait, oh, that's so tough. Because we want to see things happen now. We want to see them happen the way we want them to. Like, again, I go back to our prayer boards, and I look at it, and I'm like, how come there's so many over here? We've been praying for so long, it feels like. In reality, it hasn't been that long. And then this morning, as these were set up, and I was just going through some, and then I come over here, and I'm looking at our board of answered prayers. And I look at that one, and I'm like, yeah. I hope people aren't going to get discouraged because this looks so full. And then I look over here again and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of empty space on that one. But then the coin drops for me and I'm like, there's 11. There's 11 answered prayers on this board. 11. That's a big number, folks. Yeah, go ahead. Why not? That's a lot, and I know there's going to be more, but this is not small potatoes here. This isn't something that we can scoff at and turn our noses up. This is 11 times that God has said, yes, here's what I'm saying to you. Yes, let's get this moving. And so waiting is tough. John MacArthur, he says this about prayer and waiting. He says there's a tension between boldness and waiting on God's will. And that tension is resolved by being persistent and yet accepting God's answer when it finally comes. So in the waiting, we're in moments of tension. But we know that He's going to answer one way or another. So instead of getting frustrated, when I look at this, instead of getting frustrated, what happens is that my prayer shifts and I don't get frustrated with God's schedule of things. But what prayer does then is actually it forces me, it forces us into God's times, into God's timetable. It moves us away from our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own schedule, and it says, actually, I'm going to shift you over into God's schedule. Habakkuk 2:3 reads like this. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And so God, in this moment, God is reminding Habakkuk, and He's reminding us in the middle of that. He's saying to us, hey, like, be patient. Be patient. If things, like, seem delayed to you, it's only your perspective. But these things, they're going to come right on time. Because I do what I want when I want it to happen. Like, that's what God is saying to us. If you think things are delayed, that's your problem. It's your perspective that needs to change. Because when I do things, they happen right on time. So, people laughed. In the waiting, it becomes less about us and more about God. Isn't that a shift? More about God, less about me. Because, man, I love my schedules. I really do. And God goes, yeah, your schedule looks pretty nice. And you might even have your schedule on a spreadsheet and everything. But God's going, that's not my time. It's going to happen perfectly, exactly how I want it to happen. So it becomes more about Him and less about us in the waiting. Number three. Prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. What happens with that is that it enables us to get in touch with what God is doing and how He's doing it. It opens up our eyes so that we can see exactly what God's doing and how He's doing that thing. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have the story of the army of Israel. So there's the army of Israel, and they're surrounded by their enemies. And Elisha's servant, he gets super nervous when he sees this. He comes out, and he's sitting there, and he looks out, and it's just like they're surrounded. They're surrounded. They're outnumbered. They're going to lose this battle. They look at and they're like, there's no way that we can win this. And he gets super nervous, and he says to Elisha, he says this. Well, let me just read it for you, verses 15 to 17 out of chapter 6. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So here's this servant, and he's looking at what he can see. And he's like, there's no way that we can get through this or around this or we can deal with this. And then Elisha prays, Lord, open his eyes. And what does he see? He sees that God is with him. Prayer opens up our eyes and it enables us to see what God is doing when we're blinded without prayer. Our prayers open up our eyes to the things that we're blinded by without prayer. So, it sounds to me like I'm saying, hey, you people, you need to start praying because you're all blind. Like, that's what it sounds like. Even when I write this down and I go over it, I'm like, oh, it sure sounds like fire and brimstone today, Claudio. You're going old school, full gospel, and you're hitting that table, and you're going, hey, this is fire and brimstone. You people need to pray more because you're blind. But the truth is this. I'm not saying that about us. Like, we're not terrible people. It's just sometimes we don't get things right. So we're trying to build consistency. I'm trying to build consistency more and more in my life. I want to be more and more in tune with who God is and His heart. And what prayer does then is that it helps me to experience more of what God has for me and through me in prayer. And so that's why we're praying about, God, can you help us to see? Can you open up our eyes? It's not that we've sat here at City Light and shuttered all our windows down and closed all our doors and said, we don't want to know what's happening across the street. We're just going to care for ourselves and we're just going to put our heads down. That's not who we are. But we want to be more consistent and more intentional about praying, about opening up our spiritual eyes. What prayer does is it's a communication. We speak to God and God answers us. And in His answering to us, then He's showing us and growing us. That's what happens when we pray for our spiritual eyes to open. He grows us as people that are interested in the kingdom. Ephesians 1:15-8. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight, so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that He has given to those He has called. I pray that God gives you spiritual wisdom. So in prayer, when we ask for our spiritual eyes to be opened, what we're asking for is we're asking for spiritual wisdom and insight. God, open up the eyes to your goodness, because you are good all the time, and we want to be able to see it all the time. Number four, prayer aligns our hearts with God's heart. So the opening up of our eyes leads us into aligning. It aligns our hearts with God when we can see what God wants us to see. If we want to know what breaks God's heart, that is an alignment of heart to heart. And seeing God's kingdom first, like putting God's kingdom first, actually requires an agreement from us. Like, we have to agree to something first. We have to, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. At least at the beginning of it. And it says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. See, we can't begin to see God's kingdom until we're in complete agreement with Him about who Jesus is in our life. And that's what prayer does. Prayer brings us into a place where we recognize that Jesus is Lord of our life. Not our families, not our careers, not our finances, not our friendships. Those are all good things. And we care for our families and we care about the work that we're doing. We care about all these things, and that's okay to do that. But at the end of the day, Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. Like, he has to be the priority. And when you understand that and put Jesus there, then you've come into a moment of agreement with God. It's about God being able to establish his kingdom in you and through you, because now you recognize that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And when we come to that agreement, then the natural next step is alignment. You're in agreement, and that brings you into alignment. This is the point where you start walking with God and understanding that his order of things matters more than your order of things. More times than not, our order of things is backwards. And when we realize that Jesus is the Lord of our life, then what happens is we take our order of things and we flip them around. And all of a sudden now, the order of things is about God's order. That's alignment. This is where prayer comes in, because it helps us to connect, to understand what that order looks like for us. We can go into prayer and we can recognize that God is the source of all our things. He's the source for everything that we go into. Again, we have ideas and we have thoughts and we have plans and we think things should look a certain way and work a certain way. But when we recognize that God is the source, then that affects all of our emotions and it sets our thoughts and our actions into alignment with God. It's like going to the physiotherapist or the chiropractor, right? Like you go to, I don't like chiropractors because I always think they're going to like I'm going to be paralyzed. Like that's my fear. I know it's not rational, but whatever. Sometimes just like birds, I'm scared of birds too, right? It's not rational. But I do go to physiotherapy. And last year, I think some of you will remember last year, I threw my back out at the Gorge Park down here playing Frisbee with Mike Cormack. I still blame Mike. Mike, if you're online, I still blame you. And I reached down for that Frisbee and I threw my back out and I knew right away, like I walked over to the chair and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. Like I knew right away. And then it got worse when I tried to get out of my beautiful rocking camping chair that doesn't get used for camping. And I was in trouble. And then that afternoon I got home, I couldn't get off the couch. And then usually it takes me 2 or 3 days for my back to kind of get back into like walking mode. And I couldn't, like 3 days on the couch where I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go see a physiotherapist or something. And so I did. I went to see a physiotherapist and I saw him for like 6 weeks or something, like 2 times a week. And the first day I went in, he's like, okay, move forward as far as you can. And I was like, how's that? And he's like, okay, you can start now. And I'm like, I did. I did. I moved. He's like, you haven't moved at all. And he gave me a bit of a push. And then he gave me some exercises. And then he did what was called deep tissue massage. And I'm on my back. And he's working. And I'm like, you're kneading bread. Like, you're making bread out of me right now. And it hurt. Oh, my gosh. It hurts so much. It hurts so much. And then when I was done, I was like, that doesn't help at all. And then the next couple days I had to come back in and see him, and he goes, how do you feel? Actually, I feel better. And he said, okay, we're gonna do some more stuff for you. He goes, just lay on your stomach. I'm like, you're not doing that deep stuff again, are you? Because like my back still hurts from that. Like it felt like you were ripping my skin off. Oh no, I guess we could do something else, thank you. But what he was doing for me was this. He was aligning everything to put it back into proper order. And just like a chiropractor, they're aligning everything so that it sits back in order. And then once I was done with him, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm 21 again. Like I can need my own back. And I'm never playing Frisbee with Mike Cormack again. Mike, I see you in that camera. Oh, that was so embarrassing. What prayer does is that it takes us into a place where we deal with the adjustments that we need in our life. That's where prayer helps us to align. It deals with the adjustments and puts everything back into proper order. Lastly, Prayer enables us to move forward. Prayer enables us to move forward. What prayer does is it engages God, and then it enables God's people to look at the kingdom and help enlarge the kingdom. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. And so, once we pray, we feel like we're ready to do anything. But until we pray, we can't do anything. So if we want to accomplish things for the kingdom, let's start with prayer. Because that sets us up for a moving forward in things. I'm going to read our main scripture for you again. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Again, this is out of the Passion Translation. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I don't really care. Be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert in giving thanks to God. And please pray for me that God will open up a door of opportunity for us to preach the revelation of the mystery of Christ, for whose sake I am imprisoned. Pray that I would unfold and reveal fully the mystery, for that is my delightful assignment. Walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity, for then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks you about your faith. And so I mentioned this last week, I'm going to remind you, that first part of that text, it talks about how we should be praying. The first part of that text talks about how we should be praying, 2 to 4. This is how you should be praying. The second part of that text actually talks about what that should look like after we've prayed. So we pray with thankfulness, and we pray with faithfulness, and we should be praying for the kingdom and the kingdom expansion in mind. That's how we should be praying. We should be praying for the opportunities to share who Jesus is with people. But that second part of that text is about how God sets us up to do those things through our prayers. Pray this way, and then God will set you up to do it like this, by having grace and being tempered in truth and in clarity and letting people know who Jesus is. What he does in our prayer is that he equips us with both perseverance and wisdom. And yes, he aligns our hearts so that our characters are drenched in that grace and in that truth and in the clarity that we need to have when we have action. This is where we move from seeing really good things. Because we've seen some good things here at City Light. And since last November, last October, we have seen some really good things here at City Light. But we don't want to just see good things. In this, we move from seeing good things to great things. Don't you want to see great things? We have a God that can do great things. And in prayer, we move from good things to great things. That first part of this text, it's talking about setting and preparing a culture for City Light Church. That's what that first part of that scripture is talking about. It's about setting culture for City Light. And the second part is how we respond to it. It's the action that follows our prayer. It helps us to respond with, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. That's what it does. Isn't that what we want to do? Do you just want to sit on the bench all the time? Because it's not very much fun. I watch my kids' soccer games, and I watch that team, and anytime one of those boys has to be substituted, they absolutely hate it. When their number gets called, they're like, what? But I could play the whole game. And they go back to that bench, and they can't wait till the coach puts them back in the game. I look at Danny and I know she's itching to get back on that bike. Like she's itching to get back on the bike. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And that's what prayer does for us. So today we're going to finish with two different prayers. The first prayer, I'm going to invite Jane. Oh, she's taking notes. Oh, I love that you take notes, Jane. I love that you do that. The rest of you, learn from Jane. I'm going to invite Jane up because the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to actually do this. We're going to put this into practice, folks, because we can talk about it and I can teach about it all I want. But if we don't actually move, then what's it for? Then it's all for show. But we want to actually move in these things. So Jane, I'm going to invite you up. And what we're going to do is we're going to invite Jane because Jane is an intercessor. She's about intercessory prayer. Like she prays over our church. She prays over our leadership. She prays over our neighborhoods. She's the one that leads our prayer walks. By the way, the next time we have one, you all need to be there. Like we can't have six people at intercessory prayer. That's not enough. Like we should all be there, me included. And so we're going to invite Jane to pray over this board again with an intercessory prayer. And I want you all to reach your hands out from where you are as she goes along. And we're going to invite her to do that. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
Should we stand over here? Sure.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to pray together, Lord. And Father, forgive us that we haven't had this board out for a while.
Yeah.
We know it's always been there, Father, and we confess that sometimes we just grow kind of lukewarm and we forget that we've prayed. But Father, today we're going forward with intention mm-hmm. and perseverance, Lord, and we lift up all the prayers that are on this board, Lord, and we thank you for those that have been moved over and that have been answered. And we also know there are some in here that have been answered already, but we just haven't moved them over. Mm-hmm. But Father, we lift up all these cares to you. We trust in you. We sang today, we sang a lot of things. One of the things we sang was, when I trust you, I don't need to understand, Lord. Yeah. We don't yeah. know how you're going to do this. We don't know when you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But we are releasing these burdens into your care and your grace, trusting that you are a good God. Father, we trust you. And we know even, we thank you for the five things that Claudio preached on today, but we also know that sometimes as we pray, you change us
yeah.
inside. And we know, and our yeah. Our prayers change too. It's like, wow, you know, mm-hmm. I don't need to micromanage God. He's got this, and he's yeah. going to change me so that maybe it's not an issue for me anymore, you know.
Yeah,
even so, true. Lord, sorry, I was micromanaging you there. But, Lord, yeah, we just lift these prayers yeah. up to you. Help us be persistent, consistent, intentional. We mm-hmm. trust you, God. And bring yourself glory, Lord.
Yeah.
And help us remember that these prayers, when they get answered, help us remember that you answer them,
yeah.
even if the problem that we're praying for just kind of seems to go away. Sometimes we forget to give you credit for that. You dealt with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a huge, spectacular thing to be a miracle. We sometimes miss the miraculous because it's not spectacular. You are work miracles in little things, amazing yeah. things, Lord. So we honor you, God. We worship you. We bless you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.